This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. Welcome to a new episode of a live Q&A. That's right, this is your chance to ask me anything at all you want to ask me, conspiracy related, whether it's the Little Season or the clowns or just something about what's going on in the news today. This is your chance to hear my opinion on whatever it is you are thinking about, or at least that was the main concept for this idea. The truth is, all I do is just rant and about whatever I want to rant about for 2 hours, and you have to just sit there and shut up and listen. It's a captive market, I'll admit. It's a captive audience, and that's just the way I like it. So guys, how are we all doing? Let's see, we got in the chat, we got Pam, we got Wendy, we got Susie, we got Amelia, we got Aaron, we got Ivan, we got Cage Fighter, we've got them all, we got all the regular faces. You're all here, thanks for being here guys, I really appreciate it. Now, the truth is about this show is it's currently 11:35 in the evening for me here in the UK, and I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this show for before my newborn wakes up, starts screaming for his bottle, and it's my shift, so I'm going to have to cut the show short, and I'm going to go be a father. So, if I do just end the show, you know why. So we're on the clock. It's a mysterious clock. We don't know how long it's running for, but in a way, it kind of makes it more exciting, doesn't it? So I'm okay with that. But yeah, great to see some regular faces here. Thanks for coming. I'm glad that people here like the advert there. It's a shame because the holiday seasons have gone now and I can't use my Halloween or Christmas advert I created anymore because it's just completely out of context. So I do still need to make brand new adverts for you. But you got some classics there I made a few months ago to keep you going. The audience is captured by the Phoenix, says Misha. I don't know what you're talking about, but thanks for being here anyway. I appreciate it. Pam, we're all here. We sure are. Absolutely. Captured audience, yeah. It's 3:36 here in California. Early for you guys. Very early for you guys. Yeah, the day's just begun. For me, it is ending. We've got Jason Jack here as well. Thanks for being here. This is beautiful. Hi, Paul from Gozan Productions. Gozan Productions. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. Thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. Happy Sunday, fam. Getting some dinner ready, says Pearl. Thanks for being here, Pearl, as always. Yep, they're all here. The whole gang's together. The whole gang is together. Isn't it amazing that we've made this community? You know, I'm kind of, that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because I've just come off a podcast visit with Ricardo and Shane over at Earnestly Contend for Faith podcast, or Question the Narrative podcast. And I shared recently a half an hour clip from my last visit on their podcast. And they were actually the first guys I had ever done a podcast with talking about the Millennial Kingdom. Done a few since then, not many, not as much as I've done the clown stuff. I've done maybe a good handful of podcast visits, just giving an introduction to concept to the Millennial Kingdom theory. And they were the first guys that ever invited me on to even discuss it. So it was great to catch up with them again and just kind of get a bit retrospective about the whole thing a year later. And we're having a big, long conversation, you know, and it's going to be available on their channel. I haven't put the links in the description, but hopefully by the end of this, when you listen to this, I'll be able to link you to their channel where the video will be uploaded. I probably will eventually upload the show to my own channel once they've uploaded it to theirs, they've got their views, they've done their thing, you know. I'll just rip it from their channel and mirror it on mine eventually, if you don't have a chance to catch that. But it was fun to get retrospective about the past year. And I was thinking about kind of the impact this theory has had to the truth movement. And it really has been in the last year. I mean, obviously the major impact came when the theory was broken and introduced to us by characters like Conspiracy R Us or Exploring Tartaria. And you know, that was in the olden days, but it didn't take off then. It only really took off in the past year. And I was explaining to them what happened for me and how I kind of didn't think I would end up being some guy talking about this all the time. I really did not plan for that to be the direction of my channel, but it seemed inevitable. Like I had no control over it being this way. And as I was discussing with the guys there at that podcast, I was kind of going through the timeline with them of what happened to me. And I had a realization in a sense that I think this whole thing is like a movement of the Holy Spirit or something. I don't know what's going on. Because I don't feel like I've done much exactly, but I do feel like God has used me and my platform in a way to get this message out. And I don't know if I deserve it or not. I'm not taking any credit necessarily, because again, I don't feel like I've really said or done that much. It seems like things are happening everywhere with this particular theory right now in this day and time. And there are many channels far better than I who are spreading information about this in such an amazing way with amazing information. And it certainly feels like this wave is rising to do with this topic. And we haven't even reached anywhere close to the crest of this wave yet. It's just begun. And I feel happy to play some small part in making that happen. But then I was thinking about the impact it kind of had in the early days. Because I've told this story before, you know, I was telling MK Ryan at the time, I like, man, I've got to talk about this topic. I really cannot leave this topic. Like, I can't leave it. It's, there's like this pressure, or there's something pushing me in my mind or in my soul or in my spirit, like nudging me forward, saying, right, talk about it. Paul, you need to talk about this. Go on, do it. You know, and he's like nudging me forward. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about this topic. I know as soon as I talk about it or mention my thoughts on it, my channel will just become all about this. I know it's going to happen. I just know it. I feel it because I know it's a big deal. And I'm the Nephilim clown guy, you know, and I realized I kind of asked for this years ago. So when I was born again in 2014 and humbly broken down mess coming out of the new age psychedelic hippie phase I was going through as a kid, you know what I mean? And I was kind of like saying sincerely, okay, God, if you're real, show me. Show me everything. I want to know what the truth is. What is going on? Please, just show me. And oh boy, did he show me, and it has been showing me. But I realized a work began that day in my life, and I didn't know that until looking back retrospectively now. But he set me on a path to research biblical history, get a solid foundation of where we come from, and from a biblical standpoint, and the spiritual warfare we're up against, and the controlling systems, and how they got in place, all the conspiracy stuff, along with the demonology stuff, and the Nephilim stuff, and the Nephilim clown thing was given to me. Which, again, I don't feel like I really came up with, but information just kept coming to me, and I compiled it, and I got it out there. And through that research,
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Networked with many people, you know, who were in that realm of spiritual warfare. And I learned so much from them about the nature of reality and what's going on around us and how demons work and how the enemy works. And it's kind of one thing was leading me from one path to another. And then suddenly, next thing I know, I'm publishing a book on this topic after taking 5 years out to train in how to lead people and become a manager of people and the ins and outs of the complexities of people in general, you know, and getting down to earth on boots on the ground training, I suppose, you know, in real day-to-day personalities and interaction. And that solid foundation, I came back, picked up where I left off with the clown stuff. And with this base knowledge I gathered through that research in years, when the Millennial Kingdom thing came onto my lap, it's kind of, it contextualized very quickly for me, easily. I could easily see it, and I'd had training in how to speak about these type of things through the years of research I've been put through by God, you know what I mean, and led to discover. So it kind of, I feel like everything was leading me up to this point in a way. Foundations were being laid, revealing new revelations to me at the right time that I could handle, you know, and process in the right way. And I felt like the Nephilim clown stuff had built my platform to a decent level. And I had done the podcast circuit so much by that point that I was a known entity with a bit of, you know, credibility behind me. And it's kind of, we know who this guy Paul is. Paul's the guy who talks about the Nephilim clown stuff. He's really interesting. You know, he seems confident about what he's talking about. I could tell people liked what I was doing and seemed to like me. So through that work, it seems like God had laid it down to go, okay, Paul, now it's time to talk about this topic. Because people will listen to you now. It seems like he did all that. I don't feel like I did anything. I feel like I fell ass backwards into a leadership position I never asked for, forgetting that I actually did ask for this. You know what I mean? It's all kind of just happening to me rather than me doing these things. I'm going with the Holy Spirit flow, shall we say, and seeing where it goes. And I was telling this story to the guys. I'm realizing this kind of after the fact. I'm like, okay, so here I am now. How did this happen? How did I end up with a channel with 80,000 subscribers? And I'm now some kind of weird figurehead in some odd movement talking about Christ's kingdom has already come that for some reason no one else has figured out before. Like, how has this happened? I don't really understand. But clearly this is what God wants. This is where I'm at, you know, and I'm not the best. I'm not the guy who made this theory. I'm not the guy who needs the credit. I'm not anything. I just seem to be able to talk about this thing in a way that people listen to and have in some way pushed the first snowball and made it spiral off into some giant movement now in which, like I said, people far better than I are producing work that is fantastic, which is just corroborating and proving that this idea has so much weight behind it. It's unprecedented. And it's changed the conspiracy landscape in the past year. It's changed everything. Like, it's changing everything. And I did not intend to be where I am. It just kind of ended up this way. And I was right when I told MK Ryan my channel is just going to end up being all about this. I know if I made that first video, where I'll end up in a year's time, and here I am. It happened. And again, I feel like God's done a work here, and he's just used me and my platform at the right time to say the right things, which has sparked this movement which needed to happen in this time. And I say sparked, I've revived what was dying out, I suppose. I realized what I've done, because it seemed like obviously people who had first broke this concept weren't really talking about it anymore. And it kind of was dissipating into the annals of YouTube obscurity, you know what I mean? And algorithmic obscurity. And I was like, sat there saying, I can't keep quiet about this. Something's compelling me to have to say it all again and say, whoa, 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 guys, let's not forget about this theory. Like I said, it seems to have renewed an interest in it. And I'm not the guy. Like, I just ended up, like I said, right time, right place. And Ricardo was saying, you know, he saw my video, the first one I made, in his recommended feed like 3 times before he clicked on it. And he was saying it's like the algorithm wanted me to see it. You know, and then he said he saw it and his mind was shattered. And he had to do the same thing I did, process it and then talk about it, which is what he's doing now on his channel. And it seems like a collective effort was created where we now have this fantastic community with, we've all become researchers, every one of us, with a newfound passion and drive in our faith for the kingdom of Christ, to realize that the kingdom has come. You know, it came for 1,000 years, it is eternal, and we're in the little season, and we are representatives of that kingdom during this time. And I feel like the revelation of where we are in time is being revealed to us, and God is bringing his people back to him in this time. He's not leaving us behind, and he's letting us know the things that need to be known when they should be known. And I think in a way, this movement, it seems like it's calling God's people to him. And those with the ears to hear will listen. And we'll hear that, okay, so that's when we are. Now I know where we are and when we are and what's going on, you know. I don't think God will leave us in the dark during a little season. And I think in a way he's using channels like mine or Jason Jack or JT or Vitaly or Madeline or Mudflood Was Armageddon to give him a shout out, or Conspiracy R Us or Exploring Tartaria, and or the many plethora, you know, biblically based, and I give Cult of Connor a shout out as well. There's many. There's lots of fresh blood in this game. There's people have written books about this now. It's this, the truth is out, the cat's out of the bag. It isn't going away. It's hockey. It isn't going back in the back. It's getting out of the controller's hands now, let's say. And it's an amazing community we've built. But, as the title of this live Q&A is called, it's brought with it a few dividing lines. Because it's kind of the majority of Christians on the earth, including the conspiracy Christians, which, by the way, are not the same as normal Christians. Conspiracy Christians and normal Christians are worlds apart from each other. But even including the majority of conspiracy Christians and Christians do believe the futurist eschatology, the dispensationist futurist, tribulation coming upon us, rapture now, Christ about to return to establish an eternal kingdom theology. They believe that. They believe the signs of the times are upon us. A temple is being built for the Antichrist to come within, in order to usher in the end times. They believe that that's where we are in time. And here's us screeching in the corner of YouTube really, really loud. Nah, you're wrong, bro. It's pissed a few people off, to put it politely. We annoyed a lot of people at the start, didn't we? Do you remember the beginning when we first started talking about this about a year ago and it started getting popular? The big channel started to come for us. I'm not going to name them because it's irrelevant, but you know, I had...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Emails left, right, and center from people I would have called brothers in Christ telling me, Paul, are you sure you want to say this? You could be leading people astray. You'll have to give an account for every word, don't you know? You know, I'm not saying, you know, you can't do this, but you sound very convincing. You know, that could be a problem because you could be leading people astray. It's like, oh, so my only crime is that I sound convincing. Oh, okay. Is that, what's the problem exactly? And I've had big channels call us out and attack us. I've had small channels call us out as heretics and lunatics and people and shills and people leading people astray, you know, and we're no better than Philetus and Hermanias, you know, from 2 Timothy, whose words doth sore like a canker and spread like cancer, you know, saying that the revelation has already passed. And it's kind of, okay, yeah, well, you know, maybe those two men in the first century were wrong to say that the resurrection had already happened, because yes, they were wrong in 66 AD to be saying the resurrection had already happened. And Paul was right to chastise those men in context in the first century then. But it did happen like maybe 4 to 10 years later in their lifetime. Just because they were wrong and Paul chastised them in the first century doesn't mean we're wrong now to say it already happened. And audience relevancy is the word. You can thank Vitaly for this. He's the one who kind of popularized the phrase audience relevancy in context of talking about the little season. Most modern Christians don't understand that concept. They think the book was written to them through the apostles who Jesus was talking to. So it's kind of like, when Jesus said this generation, he was talking miraculously through the people in front of him to relay a message 2,000 years in the future to us now. It's like, what a whimsical, ridiculous way of interpreting writings in a book, you know. Could it be that he was simply just talking to those people right in front of him? Right in front of him. And Biblically Based did a podcast today, which was interesting, and I did manage to catch some of it. I'm not listening to it all yet, so I'm sorry, Nicolette, but you did the C.S. Lewis quote, which I thought was quite poignant. And you know, we have these amazing Christian scholars today, don't we? Like C.S. Lewis. You know, people look up to him as an icon of Christendom, you know, and he's like the guy we should go to and listen to get like a good modern context of what it means to be Christian. And I've listened to a large body of audiobooks based on his work. I've listened to the trilogy, the Space Trilogy, and I've listened to the Screwtape Letters, and I've listened to pretty much, you know, the Four Loves. I've listened to pretty much everything he's ever written. I've listened to all the audiobooks, and I pretty much understand his view. And he said some pretty amazing things about Christianity, which has helped solidify my faith. So I'm not saying he wasn't sincere in his beliefs, perhaps, you know. There's some questionable things about what societies he was a member of and things like this, being friends with Tolkien and so forth. But he did say this one thing, which I think is worth relaying here. And like I said, Nicolette did relay this, and this has been something I've been wanting to kind of share on my own podcast. But he said this: say what you like, we shall be told, the apocalyptic beliefs of the first Christians have been proved to be false. It is clear from the New Testament that they all expected the second coming in their own lifetime. And worse still, they had a reason, and one which you will find very embarrassing. Their master had told them so. He shared, and indeed created, their delusion. He said, in so many words, this generation shall not pass till these things be done. And he was wrong. He clearly knew no more about the end of the world than anyone else. Well, that's what futurist doctrine gives you. It makes Christ a liar. Now, that can't work. You can't be a Christian and think Christ was wrong. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense. It's devoid of any basis in reality or truth. And how do Christians answer that? What answer do they have? Oh, well, you know, this generation meant the generation it was going to happen to in the future at some point. So, well, yes, I mean, you can twist yourself in a pretzel to make it mean that if you want. And what about all the other verses? What about the hundreds of other verses I've quoted repeatedly on here that contextualize what he was saying to mean what he was actually saying? He was speaking to those people in his time, which even C.S. Lewis can see clearly was interpreted. You should interpret it that way. He promised them in his time in the first century, you all will see me come back. Even those who pierced me in the side will see me come back. You, Caiaphas, the first century Pharisee priest. Was he a Sadducee? I don't know. You will see me coming in the clouds of my kingdom and glory. Just before he wrenched all his clothes off because he said, I am, you know. Listen, it's clear. Christ said in his time to those people, he was coming back. If you deny that that happened, you have made him a liar. And this is why people can't refute what we're saying. And this is why it's a serious shakeup of cognitive dissonance faith for many futurist end times ministers of the day when they hear this thing. Because they don't have an answer for that, really, that works or is satisfying. And when they do give their answer, which is very unsatisfying, that he didn't mean what he said. He meant something really obscure and metaphorical. Well, people fall away. And one point I was trying to make clear in the last podcast I was on, that kept coming up, is that no good fruit has come from the futurist eschatology. Nothing but fear and falling away. Fear of tribulation and pain and misery and torment and not being get to take part in the rapture. Fear. And falling away because there's too many plot holes and loopholes and Jesus lied. He clearly wasn't really the Son of God. He was just a charlatan because he didn't come back. He didn't fulfill his promise. It's been 2,000 years. Where is he? I'm sick of waiting. Maybe it was all just false. That's not good fruit. That is a false doctrine, if I've ever heard one. And then that being said, it was a known not that long ago that all these things had already come to pass. The Geneva Bible is a hot topic right now in the Telegram group. People are posting their own little images of the side notes. And it's quite interesting because in Revelation 20, it says clearly after the passage, it says, "And Satan was let loose from his prison." After 1,000 years had ended, Satan was set free, you know. And then in the footnotes, it says, "And insomuch once the chains were loosed, a false doctrine began to be preached." So I'll get the exact quote here, just so I'm not misquoting, but I'm summarizing exactly what was said. Let me get this up quickly so we can see it. I'll get it up on the screen here. Not that one. There's a lot, guys. So give me a minute. Ah, here it is. It's been highlighted. Wonderful. So let me just share the screen quickly so you can see what I'm looking at. Here it is. Here's the Telegram. And I'm going to zoom. Put it about there. Then if I open it, I think you guys will be able to see that clearly. So it says here, and this is a footnote to the "Once 1,000 years has ended, Satan's let loose from his prison." And it says, "After that, the chain is broke and the true preaching of God's word is corrupt." Okay. So this was written in what, the 1500s, the Geneva Bible, during the Protestant Reformation. These footnotes were written by many prominent names of the time, you know. Let's talk about my email open though. Let's close that very quickly. Prominent people of the time, you know, that were leaving footnotes here. And it's kind of like they all kind of understood that reading these footnotes, everything has already happened. There's even another footnote when it says, "This generation shall not pass," or I think it's in Luke or something like that, where it's saying these things will come to pass, you know, before the coming of the Son of Man. And then the footnote says, "And they did come to pass in about 50 years in his time." So it's like a known not that long ago that, yeah, it's a history book. It's all already happened, you know. I thought that was interesting, that one particular passage there where it says God's word will be taught in a corrupt manner. There'll be a corrupt version of the gospel being preached in the little season. And what have we been researching but realizing? The corruption is quite simple. They put us in the wrong time. Because that's all they can really do, isn't it? You can't delete the evidence that Christ was here. There's too much. But the true preaching of God's word can be corrupted. So let's just shift the time period. Let's make them all believe that tribulation is about to come upon them and that the millennial kingdom hasn't happened yet. As soon as you do that, you've debased everything and you've introduced a fear-based, forever ongoing, for hundreds of years, Christ could return at any moment and bring pain and suffering and destruction to the whole world, and you better make sure you're on his good side. You know, that kind of attitude. You're going to make sure you make the list. Oh, you've got to get raptured. You don't want to get left behind, do you? Fear. Fear-based propaganda was introduced. And it says there in the footnotes, you know, during this time, a corrupt version of the gospel will be preached. Interesting, isn't it? Because we're living in the little season and the most predominant fruitless doctrine, which dominates all churches, all 501c3s, including end times conspiracy ministries, is futurist eschatology. And they look at us. Let me just check how many people they've got here. Let's check the stats. Okay, maybe not that stat. Let's check the control panel. Who do we have? I don't know how many people are watching, but I'm going to find out how many people are watching. So we've got 276 people here right now. 276 people out of, what are we on now? 9 billion yet? Are we on 8 or 9 billion people? I don't even know. I've lost count. Yeah, where the great deception. In the little season of Satan, we should be looking to what the dominant belief system is to try and figure out what the true deception actually is. And it's not this. In fact, most people haven't even considered this in hundreds of years. This is not brand new, but has been suppressed, that's for sure. And it's all kind of popping out again now. And I believe God in his own time is making this happen. At the right time, when it needs to happen. And I guess I'm saying this, I'm ranting all of this because I want to encourage people to say, you know, fight the good fight, keep going. Keep saying this to people, no matter what they say, because those early debunkers, you know, those people out there making these videos debunking preterism, even though that's a straw man, that's not what we're talking about necessarily. We have something else going on here, more than a formalized Jesuit belief system created as a reformation to the reformation of the Protestants against the Catholics to assert Catholic dominance or something. I think that's what it was, the whole purpose of preterism was for. We're talking about something new, something that's not been formalized yet, something that we keep creating brand new evidences for with our own eyes from external evidences out there in the world that we can go and look ourselves and see and touch and feel, such as the old world buildings, the melted buildings, the evidences for tribulation that came upon us, the history, the archaeology, the buried Roman empires, everything. We have physical evidence to back up that Christ was here, as well as these little tidbits. There's this residue left over from the reset takeover, where little pieces of evidences are coming through, like these footnotes in the Geneva Bible as well, to show that Christ was here. It all happened as he said it would. These debunkers out there never hit any of the main points that we actually talk about. They can only debunk the straw man of preterism, which is false in so much that it makes it all spiritual and kind of falls short at explaining the physical reign of Christ on earth. So, you know, but their debunking is false to begin with. But again, they never touch any of our points. And in those early days, a few big channels did come for us and did make their debunking videos. And some of them took them down because of the major backlash that came upon them. Because most normal people who don't have a huge ministry hear this and go, actually, you know, I think that makes sense. And then they hear these big people they've been following for years condemn before investigation, and they think twice, like, oh, maybe this person isn't quite as included in the thought they were. I thought they would have been open to the truth. I thought these people were all for the truth. And, you know, now they're mocking me because I believe the little season theory. And they lost a lot of subscribers. It hit them hard. It hit them where it hurts. You know, when, you know. And, they weren't happy, but they couldn't debunk us because, you know, me and JT and Vitaly did a retort to one of the videos, you know, together, explaining how, well, they haven't really debunked anything. They haven't really hit any of our points. And they're just kind of like ad hominem attacking us in a sense. And we realize they've got nothing. They actually don't have they can't refute our points very well. And any refutations they do have, it's easy for us to then just contextualize it with audience relevancy, and they have nothing again. So I noticed, shall I say, it's been very quiet for about 8 months. No one's debunking us. No one's even touching us with a 10-foot barge pole. In fact, they've resorted to just pretending we don't exist. Just ignoring us. Just not mentioning us at all. Because it's safer for them than to confront what we're actually saying. So, I think that speaks volumes, really, doesn't it? You know, there's initial knee-jerk reactions, and then they just don't talk about it afterwards. Because it's kind of like, they've...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Done the obligatory straw man debunk, and now I can just move on with that silly nonsense and never discuss it ever again. But I'm here to say, we are not going anywhere. This is not disappearing. I think this is God spreading this message at this time. And I think it's time for his people to know the truth. And I think he knows that. I think he's doing everything he can to use anybody and everybody to build a huge community who know these things to get the word out to his people. And you don't care how big your end times ministry is, you're not going to stop this. Because the truth is the truth. The Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, said what he said. And either he is a lunatic, he is a liar, or he's the Messiah. Which one was he? I don't think he was a liar. I don't think he was crazy. I think he was the Son of God. And I believe him when he said, those who pierced him would see him come back. I believe him when he said, this generation will not pass away before these things come upon those people in that time he was talking to then. I believe him. So I can only work backwards from there, and that's what we're doing. What a time to be alive. Anyway, I'm going to leave that there. Thanks for listening to my diatribe, as Connor would call it. And anyone got anything to say? Any questions? Now's your chance. Again, I don't know how long I can go for. I don't know when my son's going to wake up and cut this short, and I'm going to have to go feed him. But you've got me as long as you've got me, guys. So any questions, anything you want to say, let me know. And I'm just going to get rid of the control panel so I can see the chat there. And let's have a look what's going on. We've got the Spirit Clan with Dan. Thanks for being here. Cult of Cons here as well. Of course, God chose his apostle Paul stops to share the truth. No. I think the year, the age of prophecy and prophets and apostles, that's done. That's over. I am just a humble servant, just letting God do what he needs to do with me to get his agenda forward, and I'm just gonna go with it. Okay, that's all I am. I'm nothing special. I honestly, I do not see it that way. I'm just a guy with a lot of acid reflux and a lot of stress with a newborn who's doing the best he can to keep taking antacids and saying what I need to say when I need to say it. What are your thoughts on Trump talking about the coming golden age? Biblical golden age or golden dawn? Okay, no, so it's... Sorry, guys, let me just swallow this. I think there's going to come a time of peace and security. I think they're going to give us something we're afraid to lose. I think Connor talked about this. Something worth fighting for. Because right now, everything's just terrible. Inflation through the roof, property prices through the roof. Millennials and younger generations are essentially priced out of the market while property and land is being bought up by foreign entities. Wages are stagnating while the cost of living is going up. The government's totalitarian control is getting more stringent. Agendas and psyops are being played against us on a daily basis that the public are waking up to. There's going to be a lot of chaos, a lot of destruction. And then out of that chaos, they're going to rebuild a new order of conservative Christian based society, shall we say, where everything gets wonderful again. The economy's on the rise, home, security, faith, all these type of things will be put at the forefront and headed up by maybe someone like Trump, who will expose all the evil, defeat all the bad people, kick them all out, like the people in the Q movement believe is happening, you know, the black hats first, the white hats, I think they call it, something like that. All that stuff will play out in front of us, this Masonic theatre, and we will be given a good world for a short time. We will think everything's perfect and brilliant and as it should be. It may even get equated to God's kingdom on earth or something like that. Yeah, all that kind of stuff is going to come upon us. But the point is to give us something worth fighting for that final Gog-Magog war. When aliens come up threatening to take all that away from us, you're going to look at your 2 cars, 4-bedroomed house, high wage, wife and kids, everything you ever wanted, stability, and you're going to look at the aliens coming in the sky and think they're here to take away everything I've earned, everything I want, everything that keeps me comfortable. I'm going to fight for that. And that's how you kind of convince a lot of people to join the worldwide One World Army to defend humanity from the coming evil invading aliens who have come to jeopardize everything we've built, you know. And you've got to give people something worth fighting for. So yeah, I think there's going to be a time of chaos. There's going to be a revelation of evil, and all the evil people are going to get caught and punished accordingly, and the people are going to win. Then there'll be a time of peace and security and technological advancement and all those type of things. And then, boom, New Jerusalem. But everyone's going to be programmed to believe aliens are attacking by that point. And everyone's going to be convinced to join the war, to go and surround the aliens, make war with them before they have a chance to take away everything we've ever built, you know, something like that's going to happen. So when Trump starts talking about a coming golden age and all these type of things, I think he's laying the groundwork for that agenda. I think that's likely what's going on there. You know, John Wake Up Rels kind of said something similar on his Friday pod, Paul. Similar thought anyway. Yeah, well, I was just on with John last week, so he's probably reiterating what we've been talking about, to be honest. It's on his podcast. You can go to Wake Up or Else and listen to me talk to John there. I'm going to re-upload it to my channel soon. Again, I'm letting his ride for a while. And then I'm going to re-upload it on my channel. I've just downloaded it, say, and rendered it. And maybe I'll put that up in a couple of days or something like that. Or maybe tomorrow, I don't know. But it was a good conversation. We got into the meat of it, really, and all the Bible verses that back up this concept. So it was quite fun to talk with John about that. But yeah, I hope that answers your Trump. I think Trump's alluding to this coming time of peace before the final Great White Throne Judgment. I don't know how long that peace will last. I don't know. I truly don't. I heard today that our mitochondria has no human DNA. Is it demonic, you think? I watched that video myself. I don't know. Isn't mitochondria the powerhouse of the cell? That's all I remember about mitochondria. I wouldn't like to say any more about that. Lay on your left side, and if you're not, I wouldn't be here. Okay. My issue, you don't understand. I don't just have reflux because I'm stressed, although that isn't helping, you know, because having a child is extremely stressful, and having 2 children is also tenfold stressful. It's not double, it kind of compounds, it's exponential. No, I get really bad reflux because I actually have a damaged lower esophageal sphincter, getting quite specific here. So if I bend over, if you tip me up like a teapot, my stomach acid will just pour straight out of me. Okay. There's no valve here that stops it. I know it sounds weird, and there's a reason for this. I, for my entire life, up until 3 years ago, couldn't burp. I had an inability to burp. It's called retrograde cricopharyngeal disorder. RCPD, to be precise. And basically, it means gas bubbles will come up, but my UES, my upper esophageal sphincter, was spasming and wouldn't open to allow gas to be released and burp. So I couldn't burp my entire life. And I've always bloated hideously because of it. I was in extreme pain because the gas can't get out, as you would normally take for granted and do on a daily basis without even thinking about it. I couldn't do it. My body was incapable because this was constantly closed shut. It would only open to let food down, but not to let gas out. So I suffered with this for years, and as a result, the buildup of pressure has distended many of my tubes inside my body, and I think it's damaged my lower esophageal sphincter. It's kind of blown it open, and it's damaged now. And as a result of that, I can, like I said, my stomach acid just comes up really, really, really easily. There's nothing stopping it, because that sphincter is just done for, because the gas has pressurized it into oblivion and just made it useless. So it took like 20, you know, I've took like 20 years worth of damage here, like, and all over my body because of this. Luckily, I found a community online, and it's no burp community. And we discovered, you know, there's like exercises you can do to try and make it work, but the success rate is like 5%. It's nothing. But they discovered, and a doctor in the UK, he's the only doctor who performs the surgery in the north. There's somebody, one woman in the south, who has a slightly different version of this procedure. But what they basically do, they discovered that if they inject Botox into that sphincter with a needle, it will relax it and you can burp. And then you can train yourself to be able to burp without the Botox once it wears off. Because all you need to do is burp a few times and your brain will rewire those connections and make it happen. So you can do it unconsciously like normal people. So I went through the entire procedure. It cost me £4,000 all in all to have one injection in my throat. But they have to put me under, open my mouth, go down there with the camera, get it in the right spot and inject the Botox in there. In the southern woman who does it, she just puts the needle straight through the throat from the outside. It's a bit cheaper. I went for the expensive option because I wanted the guy who's actually forerunning the research and trying to get this known out there. So I had to go private, pay for this one guy to do this, and now I can burp again, and all my pain is gone. But the lasting damage is reflux. My stomach acid comes out very easily, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's literally, it's permanent damage. It's like, it's done. It's done and done, you know. So that's why I'm having antacids, because I literally need to keep the acid, stomach acid, less so it doesn't burn as much. It's a really horrible situation, but I'm glad I can burp because the bloating's gone, the distension's gone, the gas is gone. It was a really painful, horrible experience. My life was a misery for a long time because of that, and I'm a whole new person thanks to that surgery. But it's unknown, and it's, you don't find many people who perform it because they're like cowboys, you know. It's not like an official procedure necessarily, but they're forerunning the research and the documents to get it known, and this is the cure, and they're experimenting, you know. And that's why it costs so much money. So in England we have the NHS. It's supposed to be free to get these type of things done, but the NHS don't recognize it as a problem. They don't know it exists. And it's slowly growing in awareness now, and it's becoming a thing. So it might actually be on the NHS for free soon. But I've been a part of a big community who's kind of made it known. And there's been like newspaper articles of like woman can't burp, has experimental surgery to burp. And it's like comedy articles are laughing at us, not realizing we're in excruciating agony all the time. It's like not a joke. You know, it sounds funny because we're talking about burping, but it really isn't funny. It's really horrible. It's a horrible life. It's a misery. The problem is, you always misdiagnose it as, oh, you've got GERD or you've got IBS or something, you know. Always misdiagnosed, but the simple solution is you can't burp. That's the source of all your pain. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you're one of us. You're one of those people and you didn't realize what you actually had. And I recommend looking into it, because in America, you're blessed. there are lots of people who perform the surgery there. Lots of people. So we'll look into it. In the UK, it was slim pickings. Let's put it that way. So there's a little personal thing for you guys out there. Something if you didn't know about me, there you go. Something interesting. Not exactly a conspiracy topic, but still an interesting thing nonetheless. An interesting medical phenomenon you may not be aware of. Paul, if the little season is the mark of the beast a thing, is it the poke? Can you still be saved if you got it? I don't think it's the mark of the beast or the unforgivable sin personally, no. I don't. It all would have already happened. And what we have today are pretenders trying to make it seem like the mark of the beast is upon us. I don't think it is. I think nothing's changed. Your salvation is not in jeopardy because you were tricked through fear into taking something you thought was going to help you. God's not that cruel, okay? And they're doing everything they can in this day and age to make things seem like they're the mark of the beast. So they tried to play it out loosely, like, oh, you can't buy or sell without it, you know? But they never actually came to that, did it? And they're always hinting slightly that it could be similar to the mark of the beast. But there'll be plenty of things also similar to the mark of the beast that come from this. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying there aren't detrimental problems as a result of taking that thing. There are, but I don't think it's a salvation issue, so don't worry yourself about that, okay? So I say, in my opinion. Okay, I could be wrong. I don't think so. What advice would you give when it comes to choosing Jesus over the flesh and the natural world, says Guacamole Kid. Look, we all suffer temptation on a daily basis, and we all fall short on a daily basis. Anybody who tells you otherwise is a liar. Holier than thou liar. But condemnation of the Holy Spirit will be upon you, and you'll know you need to do better, and all you can do is get back up and continue and try your best and keep going. And abstain the best you can and resist temptation. And you can do it. You can do it. You're stronger than you think you are. You will fail, but you'll get a little bit stronger each time, and you will overcome many things with Jesus and the Holy Spirit by your side. So, you know, don't worry too much, but try your best. You know, it's the accuser is Satan. The one with the religious spirit is the one that wants to tell you you're not good enough. You don't deserve your salvation. You're a failure. You're a sinner. You're pathetic. You're useless. That's Satan who says those type of things. Jesus is the one that says, pick up your cross and carry on. You know, follow me. That's all we can do. So that's it. That's a simple answer. That's my advice. Don't be too hard on yourself. God loves a tryer. Try your best. If God couldn't tolerate sin, evil, religious fanaticism, Jesus would never have come, but he did. I don't know what you mean there. I don't believe them ever. Sorry, guys, the chat's kind of spiraling out of control here. I don't know where I am. Good question, Tam, someone says. Let me see. You are good Kingdom Pirates. Thanks for being here with us, says Cult of Khan. That's right. Appreciate burping a lot more now. Well, thank you for sharing about that. I will have something to pray for you, that you have the strength to get through this, says Michael. Oh, well, thank you. I'm okay. I'm much better after the surgery. It's a real thing. My mum could never burp until she had a gallbladder removed. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe she didn't need to have a gallbladder removed, Amy. Maybe Botox in the UES would have done the job. I don't know. But yeah, not being able to burp has serious consequences. It's like, it's not a joke, honestly. I do a weird hiccup at best. I literally have burped like 5 times in my life. I thought it was just me, says David. No, look up R R-CPD. Start researching. R-CPD. Retrograde cricopharyngeal disease. It's a disorder. Retropharyngeal disorder. It's a real thing. There is treatment. It will change your life. Look into it. You can have all the money in the world. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. That's exactly it. And when I didn't have anything, I had some small savings at the time. And I was like, you know, my now wife, Keely, you know, I was saying to her, like, I've got to do this. She was like, you need to do this. You need to find out what this is and get it done before our first son comes. She's like, I can't have you like this. Like, you need to be healthy for when our child gets here. Just pay whatever it takes. Get the surgery. Get it done. Because I was in agony and misery. Because the older you get, the worse it gets. Because your body starts breaking down harder. And you can't take it as much as you can take it when you were younger. And it was really getting bad. And so I just paid out of pocket £4,000. Which could have been used to build my family, you know, but I couldn't get it anywhere else, and I'd have to talk to you Americans about the cost of healthcare, you know, so, but just for one injection in the throat, you know, £4,000, which is about $6,000, give or take, is quite steep, you know, and that money can be used for a lot of other things, and, you know, not being able to burp, it's like, oh, is this trivial, should I be paying for this, but it's the best £4,000 I've ever spent in my entire life. I do not regret one thing about that money. That money went to the right thing. And obviously I take no burp for granted now. Many teachers, few disciples. Not burping is no joke, ask my great. Yes, people know. Some people know, you know. It's rare, and a lot of people don't know they have this. They don't realize that this is where the source of most of their problems are coming from. They think they have something like IBS or something, or some kind of gastrointestinal problem. It's not. It's right here. Your problem's right here. And you just need one injection of Botox and it'll be solved. It's odd. My father's going through this burping thing right now. He's in so much pain. Very weird, says Ian Unslaved. Well, like I said, if I could, I might make a video about this, just spreading awareness about it in general, because I've got a platform that could reach a lot of people. It's one of those things. It's just one of those diseases. Like, no one knows about it, and you don't know about it unless you have it, you know, and no one will take it seriously. But there are a handful of doctors in the world who do take it seriously and have figured out the cure, and they're fighting hard to get it recognized as a real illness in, like, all the documents and stuff, you know what I mean? Sorry, guys, I'm just checking something quickly there. It seems like a lot of you may have benefited from what I just said. There is a cure, and there's a name for what they've got. Retrograde cricopharyngeal disorder. RCPD. Look it up. Research it. Get to know where your nearest doctor is that can solve it. Oh, we've got JT in the chat. I was just talking about you earlier, Joe, with Ricardo and Shane. They were talking about the documentary. We're thinking of piecing together maybe as a thought form right now with nothing official on the books. they seem like they want to get on board with helping with that endeavor. I'm not teasing too much here, I suppose, but we're contemplating the possibility of making a documentary about the little season theory. But, you know, that requires a lot of work and a team effort, so we'll see where that goes. But yeah, we were just talking about how if anyone's going to do it, JT's the man. He's got the skills, he's got the talent, he's got the wherewithal, he's got the equipment, I assume, because he made Ancient Angels. So if anyone's going to make a documentary about the little season, it's going to be that guy. Yeah, but thanks for being here. We're still on this, says Deepwood. I don't know what you mean, we're still on this. Hope you're all having a blessed weekend. Thanks, Paul, says David. No problem. I never burp, says Pam Crane. It comes out the other end. Well, yeah, you probably have it then. You probably have this problem. It's way more common than you realise. I've got a spot right in the centre of my nose there, haven't I? Ow, that hurts to touch. I didn't realise that was there. But yeah, you probably have it. Go look into it. We're all just chilling out here, my friend. That's right. Yeah, this is just a chill out live Q&A. I've done my rants. I've done my piece. I've given you a good 40-minute segment of my thoughts and feelings right now about the Millennial Kingdom stuff. Let me just talk to people. Can I just have a conversation with people? Stop judging me too hard. It's a live Q&A session. This is a community. JT, thank you. Can't wait to chat with you tomorrow evening. I don't know who we're talking about there. I thought there was a passage I read in the Bible wherein the followers of Christ were no longer allowed to buy or sell. Not sure which book it was, but I remember it stood out to me. Those who take the mark, those who don't take the mark won't be able to buy or sell anything is in Revelation. But there also was a thing called a libellus or libellus, which the Roman emperor demanded that Christians sacrifice to false gods on the altar and be witnessed to by two officials who would give them a document, a paper, which would allow them to buy or sell within the Roman civilization. So Christians were forced to sacrifice to false gods in order to be able to have the privilege of buying or selling at some point in the early first century history. And they were given a libellus, a mark, a teragma, a piece of paper, a document, as evidence that they made sacrifices to the gods. That's what we really need to share with others, a concise documentary. So yeah, that's what we're thinking. We get all the receipts together, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, get every point we possibly can, compile it into a decent format, something like an hour and a half documentary, get all the big names involved, all the players of this theory, and lay it all out as clear as day, and answer all the questions. You know, get all the people's questions together, all the retorts, all the what ifs, or what about this, or yes and no buts, and answer them all. So no one can leave anything up for questioning, you know. Joe and Paul, let's do a short season conference. Boys, let's do it. it's going to be hard to get me out anywhere. Especially to America. It costs a lot of money to travel to America for me. So I don't know about that. Do you think saints with glorified bodies built the pyramids? I have no idea who built the pyramids. I've heard stories that it was Napoleon who built the pyramids. Maybe they're a lot more new than we think they are. You should write a book about the little season. I probably will once I finish writing my second volume of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I'm going to finish that first. I'm obligated to get that finished for people who pre-ordered. And it's trucking along, you know, it'll probably take me like the end of the year to get that done. Once that's done, I can maybe focus the next year after that into getting this book written about the little season. But, you know, I juggle many balls at once. I'm a multifaceted type of guy, so we'll see. We'll see. But it's hard, you know. I'm one man, I don't have so much time. Is the little season in the Emerald Tablets? If not, I don't think the Emerald Tablets are true. The Emerald Tablets aren't true. The only guy who claims to have translated them never produced them as any evidence that they ever actually existed. He just made a load of stuff up and said he had some Emerald Tablets, but never once showed anybody Emerald Tablets. So I don't believe it. Stu Peters' documentary Old World Order got me interested in this topic. Yeah, but Stu Peters never once mentioned Christ, did he? I was waiting for the premiere of JT's mixtape and received a gift of Paul Q&A. Perfect thing to do while waiting. Thanks, guys. Couldn't plan it better, says Tonya. Fair enough. Sorry, JT, if I'm encroaching on your release of your show. I didn't realize you would do it. I'm sorry. I just kind of came off the podcast with Question the Narrative and just came straight on because I only have a bit of time. So sorry. I didn't mean, I don't mean to siphon views from your views. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it quit soon, so that's not too split focus like that. Right, guys. Yeah, I think I will call it a night. I mean, what have I been going for? Almost an hour? I'm not quite sure. I think I've been going for an hour, haven't I? As you can hear, my voice is tired. I've been talking since 9 p.m, so that's been a few hours for me. But I think I'm going to leave it there, guys. If you're just tuning in and you want to hear something meaty and weighty and dramatic about the little season, just pull back to the start of the whole show, and I go on for about 40 minutes, just about all sorts of stuff. So go check that out. But yeah, guys, it's been great just to have you here, just to talk with you. I really appreciate the community we've built. Like I said, we are on the rising wave of truth here. We are unstoppable in a sense, and together we are pretty much an unbeatable wall of truth. I don't have all the answers when they're presented to me, but together I think we do. I think everyone's looking for their own piece of the puzzle for this millennial kingdom theory, and I think everybody's making a clearer picture by the day. And, you know, it's amazing. I think God's truly doing a work in our time. It's amazing to see all the people involved with this. And I'm excited to see what this year brings for the rest of this theory. I truly am. JT's is tomorrow night, Paul, not now. Okay, fair enough. You're right about Stu, says R2-D2. Yeah, I know. Which is why, you know, we need an answer to these Tartarian people out there spreading lies, basically. And we know now where this architecture came from. It was Rome. It's Roman architecture mixed in with the Millennial Kingdom architecture that was built afterwards during the Millennial Reign. Rome was inherited by the saints, and the beasts had to watch their kingdoms being ruled by the saints as punishment. But while Rome was being given to the meek built something better among the Roman ruins, and we call it Gothic architecture. And that is far more impressive than anything Rome ever built. I think that was the point. Look at them in comparison and say who had the greatest empire on earth. It was Christ in his millennial reign. Anyway, we'll leave it there, guys. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Sorry if I haven't answered all your questions. I really am. If anyone's interested in getting a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, maybe a signed copy. I realize I still have about 6 books left, paperbacks, available for signed copies. I think I'll sell them for £60 each. That includes postage and packaging. So if you're interested in a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I'll whip one of them out to you in the post personally. And I'll give you a little message in there as well. I will be back. Like I said, I'm going to upload some of my podcast interviews over the next week. And I'll always be dipping in and out here and there to give you a little bit of a talk. I will be doing more members-only live Q&As, which will also get uploaded to Patreon. There's already 2 available on Patreon and in my members section on YouTube. They're quite fun. They're quite intimate. I enjoy doing them. And I get to say things on there I wouldn't ordinarily say in the live shows as well. They get a bit more personal and a bit more retrospective and behind-the-scenes stuff. I'll be doing another one of them next week, likely after the Truth of Therapy session on Sunday. So that to look forward to as well, guys. But as always, thanks for listening and God bless.